If you'd just like to turn to your Bibles, if you've got them, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. There's an account in the Bible of two rather mature people, and I mean mature in respect of age, longing for the birth of a certain baby. The man in this story knew that he wouldn't die until he had seen this particular baby. And I just want us just to think about it just for a few moments this morning. The couple that we're thinking about are a man called Simeon and a lady called Anna. They were not a married couple, and as far as I know, they weren't related in any way. And I think as we sort of mature in years, I'm certainly well on the way to that now, sadly, but there we are. But sometimes people say you're in the prime of your years, but whether that's true or not. And I don't know if you just suddenly stop and wonder how much more you're going to see. I sometimes think, how many more Olympic Games am I going to see? What is technology going to be like in about 30 years' time when I should be 90? And on a brave day, I think, what am I going to be looking like when I'm that sort of age? And I'm sure in our maturing years, we think, especially with regards family, how many there would be, what they would be like, where they would be living, what they will be doing. And as you obviously are aware this morning, Isla has two sets of grandparents alive at this time. But, you know, she's blessed because she has two great-grandmothers as well. And we mentioned Isabel, affectionately known as Nan on Amy's side. And of course, she's a poorly lady at the moment. And on my side, we've got my mum, Margaret. And I know that each of these ladies would have had tremendous joy to have known that there was another member of the family brought into this world. I did a funeral probably about a year ago with a lady who was in her early 90s. She was a great-great-grandmother. I can't remember how many great-great-grandchildren she had, but she had 42 grandchildren, she had 38 grandchildren, and 10 children of her own. And I don't think there's anybody that can beat that here this morning, but I think what an incredible legacy to leave behind. The only problem was she couldn't remember their birthdays, which I think she can be forgiven for, can't she? So if you've just got your Bible here this morning, I just want to read a few verses here. This is where Jesus was brought to the temple, as was the custom in those days, on the eighth day. And he was presented at the temple, and we just read from verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, in the light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel.' And the child's father and mother marveled at what he had said, because he had the prophetic insight. He knew it was Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" And we know that was speaking about the cross. "There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them in that very moment, she gave thanks to God, spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." And just for the sake of time, I'm going to leave it there. Can you imagine the joy of Simeon and Anna when Jesus was brought into the temple? And as soon as Simeon saw the baby, he knew He knew in his heart, this is what I've been waiting for. This is God's son. And it was with great contentment Simeon knew that he could not pass away in peace at this time. Passing away could only take place when he had seen this young babe. Passing into the presence of God, he would do with peace the God he loved and served. And as we read there, Mary and Joseph, mum and dad, were blessed at the incredible prophetic insight that Simeon had of Jesus and the destiny that would follow him in the days ahead, resulting ultimately in the death upon the cross. And if you can just imagine the joy, particularly of two great-grandmothers at their time of life in what I would call the maturing years, they saw another little life. As mature ladies draw towards the end of their life, another life comes into the world. And then, of course, she begins to grow. And only in a few months, we see an incredible change and difference that is taking place. And then we come on to what was said there, which you can just read through again, of how Simeon took this little baby in his arms and prophesied and spoke over him. And then we come to the very mature lady called Anna. Anna's husband had died just after 7 years of marriage. She had known incredible sorrow from being a young wife. And I sensed that she wasn't a bitter old lady because she'd never could have done what she did in the temple. And Anna, as seen through the eyes of many, would not be particularly special, certainly through the eyes of the world. But when you consider her life, she is an incredible, precious role model for so many of us today. Perhaps she could be called Saint Anna in some people's eyes. She was exactly in the right place at the right time, where God wanted her to be. And in God's kingdom, she was a hero. And Anna, at 84 years of age, had never remarried, and she gave the rest of her life to worship, to prayer, and to fasting. She never gave up hope that she would see the Messiah Jesus before she left this earthly life. And in fact, she probably would have been the first Jewish woman to have actually being able to witness the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we value and celebrate the birth and gift of children, whether we're parents, relatives, or friends. We value youthfulness because they are our successors. They're like in the next generation. But, you know, we must never underestimate or ignore the wisdom, the maturity of the older generation, those who are above us. We need the value and worth of experience. We need to listen to them. And Anna and Simeon were a couple who proclaimed the truth. The main part of Anna's life was, I say, devoted to God. And she had this amazing lifestyle, which is one of fasting, worshipping, and praying. Now, don't think she went without food all that time and without sleep, because she would have been probably dead within a few weeks or months. But it was a lifestyle that she devoted to God. And if I think about Isla's great-grandmothers, they've invested so well over their lifetime. They've made sacrifices, I'm sure, for their families. They've seen their children's children raise their families, and they leave an incredible legacy with four generations being alive at this time. Isabel is probably the oldest out of the two families, and Isla is now the youngest. So we're looking at 90 years apart, but they're all part of the same family. Things have changed over the years, particularly in raising children today, particularly in the culture that we live in. Maybe the basic principles have not changed, but if you look at some of the television programs that are on at the moment, particularly, they've covered aspects of behavior, why children don't sleep, why children don't eat. They teach parents how to be parents. They teach mum and dad how to work together to raise their children in a better way. And you're almost bombarded now of howing to bring up your children. There's probably one thing they forget, and that's the Word of God, that is a clear blueprint for how we should raise our children. And there's a verse there in Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so as we just come into the home straight this morning, the question I ask myself, what is God after when we look at this verse? Is he after the perfect child? Is he after the child that obeys 24/7, never steps out of line, never puts a foot wrong, never takes a risk, never messes up? Well, I don't think that's possible, and God knows that. But I do believe that we are called to raise our children and to support one another in doing that so that we get the best results that are pleasing to none other than God. And that has to do a lot to do with behavior and responses and attitudes. Abraham Lincoln said this, there is one way to train up a child in the way he should go, and that is to travel it yourself. How many people have you heard, don't do as I do as I say, which I think is a very awful indignation to children. A good example is worth a thousand sermons, and so I trust that I will be a good example. And I think we've experienced attitudes like this. How many children have I seen put their hands over their ears? And they start that at quite a young age. I love this one. But you know, that is real attitude. What you do and the way that you behave has more impact on your child than all the lectures that you can ever give them. The Bible says quite a lot about our responsibilities of both parents and children. And what I want to do is just finish up by just reading a few verses from the book of Ephesians, because it probably sums it up in every way that I think it should. And I can't read it from there, so I'm going to step back here. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Children, do you hear me at the back?
Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then there's a challenge to us as dads, isn't there, particularly? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Probably easier read than done at times. And Father, I just want to say thank you for every child that's represented here this morning. Father, for the characters, for the gifting, for the call, for the destinies that are on some of their lives. And Father, we want to say thank you for each one this morning. And Father, we just do value them because, Father, we know that our success is in our successors. And Father, they will be our successors in the years and the decades ahead. And I just do pray again your favor and your blessing on every child here this morning. Father, may they just know your goodness in each of their lives. And Father, as we particularly prayed for Isla this morning and for the family, again, we pray your blessing upon them at this time and throughout the years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.